Good morning again.
Good morning.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome to those who are also joining us online via live stream. I apologize, we have to change the batteries out in my microphone. So can you hear me now?
Yes.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, there are times of uncertainty in our life where we feel like the only thing that we can do is step out and move in faith. Lord, we ask that you would grant us the faith to do that and the wisdom to recognize those situations. And Father, oftentimes storms, which are such a wonderful metaphor for what we go through when we're challenged and tested, we just pray, Father, that you'd help us to not focus on the storm, but to see through those storms and look upon you and your glorious Son. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
No.
There are a couple stories in the Gospel. There are two accounts, and they're featured in all the Gospels. But there's multiple storm stories that the disciples go through on a boat where they're out in the middle of the sea. And all of a sudden, the winds rise up and the waves start flooding over their boat, and they're worried for their lives in the first storm that they're in, and Jesus is asleep on the boat. And of course, in fear, they go to Jesus, and Jesus, of course, calms the storm. Well, then there's another account of them going out on a boat. This time, Jesus isn't with them, and he sends them out into it. I wonder why there's two of these accounts. Well, is it because maybe we go through certain things in our life, and those things that we go through were given to us by God to get us ready for the next set of tests that are coming our way? Perhaps we go through one storm to get ready for the next storm that is coming. We learn, we grow, we increase in our faith. Now, speaking of storms, I remember when I lived in St. Louis, and how many of you are from the Midwest at all, or living back there? Then you know what a Midwest storm is like.
All right.
When those thunderstorms come, they are awesome. The lightning that can light up the sky is more glorious than a fireworks show on the 4th of July. And yet it is also scary. You are witnessing that's the power of nature. I mean, that is the power of God at work. Right? That is his creation at work. And it can be terrifying. And part of thunderstorms is also tornadoes, right? And on one of the streets that we lived on in St. Louis, the very first street that we lived on was called Victoria Avenue. And there is this man who had lived in the house that he grew up in. He had lived in the same house his whole entire life. And he told me that whenever there are tornado warnings and the sirens go off, he never goes to the basement. And the reason why he never goes to the basement is that he said, one time when I was a child, a tornado touched down in my backyard. So I figure, odds are it's never going to happen again. I don't know if that's quite the lessons that Jesus wants us to learn from the things that we go through in life. I don't think that's ever going to happen again. Because as much as we want to try to avoid challenges, as much as we try to make things easier and make things go smooth, as much as we try to use wisdom and knowledge and experience and to learn from those things, there always seems to be something that comes up in our lives that challenges us and puts us to the test. And it might even challenge our faith. And we might wonder, God, why am I going through this now? Haven't I been tested enough? And yet, those situations come. Well, let's take a dive into this text and find out what is going on. We're in Matthew 14, beginning with verse 22. And it starts out with, immediately Jesus makes the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. So this is a continuation from the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And if we're remembering the context of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus withdrew to be by himself after hearing about the death of his cousin, John the Baptist. And so Jesus goes out on a boat with his disciples to find a desolate place, to find a place to rest and be alone, and yet they're recognized. All these crowds come and follow. And Jesus has pity on them, he has mercy on them, he heals, he preaches to them, and then he feeds them miraculously, right? 5 loaves, 2 fish. He sends the crowds away. He makes his disciples get in the boat. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went on the mountain by himself to pray. So he spent time with his Father to pray. Now, his disciples, I want you to know something here. They have done absolutely nothing wrong. They are listening to the command of their Lord. Go to the boat, sail to the other side. And now evening comes. And it says, when evening came, Jesus was alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. How many of you have ever been on a boat against an awful current? I know we've got some Navy people here, you know, some retired. There's nothing that you can do. Or if you boogie boarded or surfed or anything like that, you can't fight the waves, you can't fight the current, you can only really go with it. So these disciples, though, they are listening to their Lord and they are going against the wind, trying to sail to the other side because that's what they were commanded to do. And they were fighting the waves for a long time because the wind was against them. Because we get to the fourth watch of night. And when in the fourth watch of night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. So what does it mean? What does the fourth watch of night mean? It means that at this time, when Jesus came walking on the water to the disciples, it was about 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So they're not getting a lot of sleep. They're tired themselves too. And if we take into account the different versions of the story of the feeding of the 5,000 and this crossing of the sea that they're going through, the disciples also had just gotten back from Jesus sending them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. And many of them were so busy healing people and proclaiming the good news, they hadn't even had a chance to eat yet during that time. And they finally got to eat when they got the leftovers from the feeding of the 5,000. So these are tired men here on this boat. They are weary and they're tired. And they're pushing against the waves here. And it's anywhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. And Jesus comes to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples see him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And so Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Now, we talk about how we grow from certain experiences, tests that we go through, challenges. I know that we've read this story. We know what is about to happen to Peter. And oftentimes, the mistake we make is automatically criticizing Peter for focusing on the wind and the waves and then sinking in and Jesus having to pick him up. Because Jesus then, of course, says what to Peter? He says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you ever doubt?" And I don't think that, and we'll get to this, but I don't think Jesus was trying to be harsh. I think it was, excuse me, I think it was like a compassionate father who sees his son fall on a scooter or a bike and picks him up, you know, and tries to dust him off, you know, caringly, not trying to beat them up and say, "Why did you do that?" Blah, blah, blah. But let's face it. Peter is bold enough and has faith enough to step out of the boat. I think we have to give Peter some credit, because that is some incredible faith. We've asked the question of the kids today in the children's message. How many people can walk on water? Never seen this before. And yet here is Jesus walking on water. And Peter is I'm going to get out of the boat too. If it is you, Jesus, command me and I will come. And Peter gets out of the boat. And he gets to Jesus. Now, what is interesting here is it's the same thing that just it drives us crazy when we read the scriptures. How can the Israelites, who were just delivered out of the hand of slavery, and they saw all the plagues, and they crossed the Red Sea, how could they build a golden calf? How could Peter, who walked on water and saw these miracles, denied Jesus three times? Jesus was arrested. Well, I'll tell you, the answer is found in the book of Romans. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. We all have moments of great faith. We have moments where God has, well, we know where God has grown us, and we can look at our experiences in the past, and we can see how God has got us through many hardships. But then sometimes with the current hardship, even with the knowledge of knowing Jesus is God, there are times where we in our humanity and in our sinful nature and in our anxiety and our worries, we can maybe focus too much on the wind, if you will, or the waves, or whatever we're going through, right? Because if we're looking at the storm metaphorically, right? If we're looking at a metaphorical storm here, we focus on those things. Maybe we slip up. But what happens to Peter here when he slips up? Peter says, "Save me, Lord." And Jesus immediately grabs Peter. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." What is going on here theologically is probably more important than trying to get a metaphorical application, but we'll get to the metaphorical application here. But first, theologically, how does Jesus have power to feed 5,000 men with their women and children? So we're probably 15,000 probably doing that, our estimate. A lot of people, there's five loaves and two fish, right? And how is it that this man is able to walk on water, showing so much power over creation? How is it that he was able to calm the storm the first time from the boat, and then that the wind immediately ceases when it gets into the boat the second time? Well, we are dealing with the creator of the universe as a man. He has that power. This is God that we're talking about here. Jesus Christ is God. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is the Son of God. He is, yes, a man who you can see. A physical man in the flesh. He gets hungry. He gets thirsty. He gets tired. He grieves. He mourns. He goes through the entire human experience, with the exception of one thing: he does not sin, even though he is tempted. And yet, he is fully divine and has this power. And while the first story of the boat takes us back to a comparison of Jonah and shows us that, wow, a greater prophet than Jonah was here, because Jonah was cast into the sea before he was swallowed by the great fish. There's a foreshadowing of that story with Jonah, of Christ calming the storm. But now, Jesus is saying, one greater than Moses is here. And so that he is the same God that Moses served, and yet he's greater than Moses because the feed of the 5,000, God being able to feed all those people, just like reminds us of the manna from heaven. Right? We talked about that a little last week. But then we go to the sea, where God, through Moses, parted the Red Sea so that the people could cross on dry ground. But here is God himself walking on the sea. This is our God. This is who we worship. This is who we put our faith in. He is the same God who put down his own life when he took on a cross for you. The hands that multiplied the bread and the fish, and the feet that walked on the water, were pierced with nails. But he was nailed to the cross and died. And yet he conquered death. If he can conquer death for you and rise again and promise you eternal life, this same God is not going to abandon you in whatever you are going through in this world. And this takes us to that wonderful, beautiful application of, hey, what about those metaphorical storms in our life where we feel like we're so far out of control and we don't know what is going on? Remember, through all your trials that you go through in this world, Jesus is there. And perhaps he even sent you into that place because he wanted to grow your faith and wanted to say, yes, I am still walking with you even right now. Because when you get through this, you're going to be able to look at me and you're going to worship me and you're going to know that I am your God. We're going to grow. You're going to grow that much closer to me. And you're going to trust in me a little bit more. Because guess what? There's probably going to be more trials even after this one. More metaphorical storms, if you will, that are going to blow in even after the one that you're currently going through. And this is all to God's glory. Because as you go through this world and you struggle and you suffer and you are tested, there are people who are watching you, who love you. And they're seeing how you handle this. And they're seeing that even when you fall and fail, how you turn back to God's grace and allow him to pull you out. Or they also see how you faithfully just go through it and say, I know God's got me. I know I'm going to get through this time. And the people who are watching you are seeing that witness. And they're like, you know what? That person there who's walking through that cancer diagnosis or is who's just lost their loved one, or that person who is who's struggling with their children right now, and you know, whatever is going on, that person who just got laid off from their job, I'm seeing them walk through faith. That person has a great faith, and that strengthens my own faith. Because it does help to gather with believers who trust in God and to know that, you know what, we are not alone. We are with Christ's body right now. The body of Christ gathered. You believe what I believe. I believe what you believe. We both trust that this Jesus is divine. We all trust that he died for us and rose for us. And we are learning to trust him together as we walk through this world where there's going to be trials. There's going to be those storms that are going to come. We won't always be able to avoid them. And yet God is going to get us through. And our faith is going to grow. But our faith is also going to be tested. And as we are tested, every single time, when we feel like we're about to drown, Jesus is going to be ready to pull us out when we call and cry out, "Help us, Lord Jesus." Because he has not only does he have the power to save us, but we know that we have a God who loves us because of what he has done for us. Not only does he have the power to save us, but he desires to save us. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep them from now until life everlasting.
Amen. Amen. Amen.